With that introduction, I'm pleased to invite Peter to speak to us on faith essential for salvation.
Good morning, my beloved brothers and sisters and friends. This morning we're just going to briefly consider that which we hold deeply in our hearts to varying degrees, which is the subject of faith, by which we embrace and accept those things which are written for our learning. And our thoughts this morning are going to be based on the thoughts of one man. The clue was in the readings here, how he best describes those things which we hold dear, its merits and also its benefits. His words are all the more remarkable because the words we just read here this morning are from a man who in the early part of his life was not like this at all. He was passionate and vehement against the concept of faith, against the gospel message, and immersed in the law of Moses. And he persecuted any who had faith in such things as we embrace this day. Yet in the passing of time, this man, like us, was enlightened and was transformed and abandoned his old way of life and accepted a new way, which we have done too, most of us, which he recognized in his writings and in what we read this morning was far, far superior for the reasons he explains in these writings here. And this man's journey of discovery is relevant to each of us, for like us, he initially experienced one way of life before baptism, before our time in association with the Lord Jesus Christ, and after this he became transformed. For he realized, finally, being persuaded that faith in the gospel was the only acceptable way of salvation for the Lord God and to us. However, in the passing of time, for those he preached to, it was necessary, as we read today, to write to the members of the churches in Galatia, to those he had previously converted and maybe baptized, who had made the same transition as himself, to remind them of the great merits of faith, because sadly, as is sadly also the case amongst us from time to time, to remind them that faith itself is something that does wane and it does grow from time to time. Because in his absence from them, from these churches, some had sadly, due to the pressures of life, due to the temptations of life, reverted back to their former ways and abandoned the idea of faith in the Word of God. The man, of course, we know well as the Apostle Paul. And in this third chapter to Galatians, he speaks frankly, he speaks forthrightly to these wavering disciples, and with some urgency, not mincing his words, and asks them why, that having abandoned it so quickly and having started so well to walk with Christ in faith, why they had abandoned it and relied on human thought and endeavor. And so he starts this third chapter to the book of Galatians with these words, very strong, very powerful. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently set forth, crucified among you? And in verse 3, he poses a whole range of questions to them. He asks them, are you really so foolish as to abandon faith and rely on your own endeavors? That having begun in the Spirit, as we have now, are you now made perfect by your own endeavors? Paul is clearly letting them know how foolish it would be and was for them to abandon the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit, as he calls it, based on the principle of faith in God's promises. And by the same token, how foolish it would be for any other to refuse or to take heed to what the gospel has to offer. You see, the conflict for those in Galatia was similar to ourselves, because for them there were two laws going in parallel. The first, the old, and the second, the new. The first was the law of Moses, and the second was the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit. And for us, we don't have the law of Moses competing with our attention, but we have another law which pulls us backwards. It is the law of the flesh, and that conflicts with the law of the Spirit of Christ. Those who observed the law of Moses were used to a way of life where they had feedback, where they were used to judging and measuring their success in life, which we don't. They were used to rules, rituals, and rewards, where it was possible, with some degree of satisfaction in the observance of the old law, to measure oneself and mark oneself, maybe out of 10. Yet this law was flawed, as Paul would have them know, and it was crucially limited in two ways, fundamental ways. Firstly, no one could fulfill all its demands, and therefore, as a result of one single failure in that law, the human being was condemned. As James writes these words, he says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all the law." Secondly, this law, the old law, was never intended to give life, neither did it ensure a continual daily awareness of sin and a remembrance of sin, sins that could never be taken away. Consequently, by the old law, no one at all could be justified in the sight of God. And Paul in Galatians 3 verse 12 gives the reason why. No one could be justified. No one could be given life by this. For he says in the 12th verse of Galatians 3, it was not based on faith. For he says the law is not of faith. And what we have accepted, those of us who are Christadelphians, is that our new law of our lives is based on the principle of belief, of having faith in what is written for our learning, that we endeavor to strengthen that day by day in our walk in the new law of Christ. So we might well ask ourselves, each one here, why then was this old law introduced in the first place? What was its purpose? What did it succeed in doing? It was, in one way, negative throughout, because it highlighted sin every day, and in so doing demonstrated its weakness and the failings of human flesh. As verse 20 of this same chapter, Romans 3 tells us, "For by the law was the knowledge of sin." So the old law was a remembrance of sin every day. This law gave testimony to the inadequacy of human flesh, with its propensity to sin, as we are well aware, whereby mankind was condemned daily in the sight of God. And in Galatians 3, Paul makes this very point and informs us that this law, with all its failings, was but a forerunner of a new and better law, which most of us here has embraced. For we are invited to accept the new law and understand that by it we are reconciled to God by the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Verse 22 of this same chapter reads, "But the scripture and that's inclusive of the law, concluded everybody under sin. Why? So that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believed. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. And it's been revealed to each of us, the principle of faith in believing what God has written in his word. And when we move outside this room and meet those we perhaps have association with in work or neighbours, then the knowledge of the scriptures is so rare, the principle of faith so sparse, that we from time to time consider our own motives and our own ways and our own conviction. The old law, you see, pointed forward to better things to come. And we thank God, as Christadelphians, that we have embraced these things based on the promises that God has made. It is a law based on faith, believing the unseen, believing God, that he exists, that what he has spoken will surely come to pass. And it relies on the life, death and resurrection of one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his sacrifice for our sins forever. This is the new law. For the sins which are remembered each day are forgiven through his death and through his mediation before the Father. And this became a reality for you and I by the victory of Christ Jesus over the curse of sin and death by his resurrection from the dead, so that through him, you and I, and all mankind can now be justified in the sight of God, although we be sinners, and by the forgiveness of sins, and on the principle of faith. For he says, verse 11 of this same chapter, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. Why? Because man is only justified before his maker on the principle of faith. For these people, men and women alike, shall live by faith. But Paul does not leave it there. He is desirous that these churches to which he preached, in which some had fallen away, that these in Galatia and ourselves should fully appreciate the benefits of the new law in Christ, based as it is on the principle of faith in God's promises. And he points out the many benefits in verse 24, for he starts that at the end of verse 24, that we might be justified in the sight of God by faith. Verse 26, that we might become the children of God in Christ Jesus. That we might, as it says in verse 29, that if we be Christ's by baptism, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises of God. And the heart, at the heart of the Lord Christ and the Spirit, is this essential principle of faith. It is essential for each of us. We all struggle in daily life, everyone does who's human, and our faith is tested often, daily. And yet we gain that strength by the reading of the Word of God. And only by it can it we be strengthened day by day. What is faith? It's intangible. You can't touch it. You can see it. You can see the reaction to it. It's immeasurable. It's an immeasurable quality of the heart, of the mind. It knows no limits, it has no boundaries, and is evidenced and demonstrated differently in each of our lives by the way we behave, by the way we react to other people, and whether the love of Christ is dominant in all these matters. You see, it is said of Abraham that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He had faith in the promises of God and he was a righteous man as a consequence. The substance of his faith was God himself. He believed God. And the process was simple. And it applies to each of us too. It is this: God spoke. Abraham heard. And Abraham believed and had faith in what God had promised, and so was imputed by God with righteousness. Because as Romans also says, he staggered not at the promise of God through faith, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that God had what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And as we live in these last days, we watch the signs of the times. We watch for the hand of God in his actions with the nations of this world. And our faith is tested as to what and when will Christ return. We have faith. We don't worry about these things as Christadelphians, because we know that our God is faithful and his Son will return to this earth to set up a kingdom, irrespective of what any leader should say or any nation should do. Faith, you see, is this indispensable requirement, as far as God is concerned, in the heart of man and for salvation. For without it, says the writer to the Hebrews, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, first of all, must believe that he exists, and that he then is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Most of us are familiar with Hebrews 11, where characters, many of them, each of the, in their own way, demonstrated a living faith, which we are supposed to replicate by their manner of life, whether in worship, whether in walking in Christ, or whether in witnessing for Christ. Yet we are informed in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11 that all these people, worthy men and women who had faith perhaps in excel of our own, all died in faith, not having received the promise of God. Yet, like us, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 13, whilst they died and before they died, they saw them, these promises and the reality of God's will afar off. Yes, like us, as Christadelphians, they embraced them and they were part of their lives. More than that, they confessed in their lives that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth for the duration of their lives. Many of us, Christadelphians, have seen in our own mind's eye, by hearing God's word, his promises. Most of us have been persuaded by them. Many of us have embraced them, truly. But how many have made a confession of them in their way of life by a living faith? A faith that demonstrates an association with the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. See, what of ourselves? This is the day of our opportunity to reflect, to take stock. While time remains for us, for all those of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11, now sleep in their graves, having demonstrated in different ways their faith in the promises of God, and they now await in silence the resurrection of the dead at Christ's return. And what are they waiting for also? They're waiting for us. They're waiting for us, for all those who would be willing to embrace the promises of God and have faith in them. For that chapter in Hebrews 11 towards the end concludes, and these all, many men and women of the past, having obtained a good report through faith, critical, essential, received not the promise of God, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. See, there is time yet for each of us to consider our ways in terms of our total reliance on the Lord God and what he has said. You see, all our thoughts and all our faith is based on the principle that God is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that he loves those who have faith in what he has said. We can't see him, but we can see his hand at work. In verse Galatians chapter 3 again, and this time in verse 6, where Paul illustrates the superiority of the law of Christ based on faith, he says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And in verse 14 of this same chapter, he informs us that those things related to Abraham can bring potential blessings to any other person. For verse 14 reads that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, you and I, through Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It was the promise of God that the blessing of and promise to Abraham was to be offered to all nations. And we are the beneficiaries of this. To you and to me is the offer made. It is made through the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ, that through him we too can be blessed if our faith is strong in these last days in which we live. And we live on the same basis as Abraham, on the basis of faith. For these potential benefits are available to all of us here this morning. They were foreseen and foreshadowed long before, but they became a reality when Christ was born. For we read, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed, so that they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The assurance, my dear friends, we have in all these things is confirmed by the fact that when Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, when he was born in Bethlehem, Romans tells us he came for a purpose, and one of those purposes was to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Without Christ, these promises cannot become a reality, but Christ is. Christ was born, and Christ, through his life and sacrifice, and through faith in him, we have indeed so many blessings which can be ours. It signifies, you see, that the promises made initially to Abraham and confirmed by Christ by his life are still relevant and are of personal interest to every one of us and to anyone if they be Christ's. And if we be Christ's by baptism, we become Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. For we read in that same verse, chapter, if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Again we ask ourselves, what of ourselves in this walk, in this journey, on the subject of faith? How essential is it in our lives? How much is our reliance on the promise of God? with regard to worry and those things that affect us daily, how much do we rely on our Father, Heavenly Father, to help us, to put before Him all those issues which worry us and set us down? You see, this is the day of our opportunity to examine ourselves in a way, to appreciate the beauty of what God has provided for each of us. So while time remains, let us, as Paul would have that message given to the Galatians, let us be wise and not foolish, never forsaking our calling in Christ Jesus, but demonstrating day by day and getting stronger a living faith in God, our Creator, and His promises. And if that be the case, we have no fear at all for the future, because with faith, which is essential, we can be blessed, whether in this life or in the next life through resurrection, in the days to come when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. May our Heavenly Father bless us all to that endeavor, that when He comes, He will see in our behavior, in our speech, and in the things that we do, elements of His supreme nature. And be kind to us and merciful, and that we might be found acceptable in that day. Thank you.